Today, glad that you chose to worship with us. What about Cochran last week, giving it on with the Psalms? Yeah, a few of them loved it. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so look, we're in our Psalm series, but before we get going, I just want y'all to know that Cody is gone, Jennifer is gone, Stephen is gone, a lot of people are gone, but I just have been thinking about this morning. There's been a lot of text messages, a lot of people doing things that they've never done, but a lot of people doing a great job. So before we get going, I just want you to know that today would never be able to happen if it weren't for the people upstairs up there that you never see, if it weren't for Briley in the back and all the unseen people. So put your hands together for them. That being said, we are in our summer series titled Summer in Psalms. So today, if you have your Bible, we will be in Psalms 37. It'll be verses 1 through 9. Psalms 37, 1 through 9. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, read the screen. All right, let's go. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way or the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for another day at Bethel. Thank you so much for each and every family member represented here today, God. I pray that they would leave here a little bit more excited. I pray that they would leave here a little bit different. I pray they would leave here a little bit lighter. But Lord, I pray that you would just move me out of the way and that you would speak through me, Lord, with this message that you've given me, this message that I've been pondering on weeks, Lord. I pray that it would convict them like it convicted me and that it would grow them like it is growing me. Lord, we thank you for today. And everybody said, amen. So something I think that we can all agree on this morning is this. It's incredibly tempting to become envious or worked up over the success of other people. It's easy for us to do, and just to add a little bit more weight to that, people who are wicked and corrupt. To add weight to that, wicked and corrupt, can I just say, let me put it like this. Maybe you're trying harder, you're doing better, you're trying hard to seek God, you're coming to church, you're doing all of these things, but if we're not careful, how many of you know the grass is greener on the other side? We get to looking over the fence. We get to putting our chest against the barbed wire, and we get to thinking, man, I made a little bit more money back then. I did a little bit better back then. I feel like I was doing that. And then we get to looking over the fence, and we get to looking at other people and other people's ranch and other people's things, and we get to this place where it's dangerous. And we say, God, I'm doing better than I've ever done before. I'm seeking you more than I've ever sought you. I'm going to church. I'm taking my family, and they're living of the world and have all of this and all of that. It's easy for us to get that way, in our mind, and it can look like they're succeeding while maybe we're going unrewarded for being good men and good women of God. It's something that we got to pay attention to. It's dangerous and a dangerous place for you and I to go to for three reasons. Number one, it takes our focus off of our own growth with God, what God's doing in my life, what God's doing in my wife's life, what God is doing in my children's life. It takes our focus off of that, and then we overlook the blessings that God is giving us right now. And most importantly, it steals our joy. It steals our joy because we're not happy with what we have and we're trying to figure out how to get what they've got. And you know what I'm saying? And if our focus has been taken and we're not seeing the blessings God has given us personally and our joy has been stolen, then that means that all three of those things are being stolen from the ones we do life with as well. Because Cody tells us in the office all the time, people feel you before they hear you. Come on, people feel you at your job before they hear you. You leaders, people feel you before they hear you. Can I say whatever persona I'm putting off, whatever I'm delighting in myself is going to go to my wife and to my children and to my circle. Number two, it puts us in this comparison game that is deadly. It's deadly when we start chasing the things of the world to keep up with the people of this world. We're putting ourselves in a dangerous place spiritually, mentally, and financially. Well, what do you mean? How spiritually? Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to store up things in heaven and not things on earth. It puts us a bad place in our spiritual mind. And then mentally, all we can think about is keeping up with the Joneses instead of walking out our life with God. I'm trying to get what they have. I'm trying to make what they make. I'm trying to do all of these things, and I'm not putting any time with God. I'm going to give you all a great example of this and tell you a little bit about how old Cody is. He is the best at delighting himself in the Lord and not things of this earth. His mind is programmed that way. He thinks that way. He thinks, man, I'm not worried about what I have here. I'm worried about what I'm going to have there. I'm looking at Jesse, and he thinks about his boys, and he thinks about Clara, and he thinks about them knowing that what they have here and not what they have here, but what they're going to have in heaven. Can I just say, he has a pair of boots that he ordered when I was born. 34-year-old pair of boots. And he takes care of them, and he's not worried about getting a new one. He's not like that 20-year-old flatbed pickup he's got. He's gotten many new trucks, but he's never got to a place where he's like, I got to have the flatbed they have. I got to have the lights they have. I got to have the new. He just says, you know what? I need a new truck, but I'm going to slap that same old bed on there. It still pulls my trailer. It still holds my stuff. I'm not going to get caught up in the things of this world. And the reason he can do that is because he just delights himself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 23 of this chapter says, the steps of man are established by the Lord when he delights himself in his way. So delight yourself. And financially, how does it mess us up there? Well, we begin to do and make decisions that will hinder us instead of help us. We're spending where we don't need to spend. We're jumping the gun. We're not praying anymore about what we should do. You know what I'm saying? Comparison is dangerous. Comparison is dangerous because you know what? You could be comparing yourself where God has you to where the enemy has someone else. You could be comparing yourself where God has you and your marriage to grow, where God has you to meet your wife, where God has you to have the child that you couldn't have. You could be comparing yourself where God has you in your season to grow you to where someone else may be held captive to the enemy. But when we get to looking over the fence, we get to thinking, I want that life and I want what they have. We gotta be not playing the comparison game. Number three, before we know it, we're committed to the things that will pass away one day instead of the things that will stay forever. If we're committed to things that won't last, we're in a bad place. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Say forever. Forever, the word of the Lord lasts. Cody talked about this at Guthrie. I see you Guthrie people over here. He's like, man, we have the word of God at our fingertips. We have it on our phone. We have a Bible in our office, a Bible at my church, a Bible in the chair. We have the Bible everywhere, but many of us are not picking that thing up. Many of us are overlooking the power of it, the power that's within it. And like Jennifer prayed those prayers over her family, you and I are missing out on putting our names in the scripture and praying over our life. There's power in staying committed to the word of God that remains forever. So, are we have heavenly commitments or do we have earthly commitments? So, I just feel like if we put all three of those things, we put it in a jar, we shake it up, we melt it, we burn it, whatever, and we stir it around and pour it in a funnel, I feel like one word would come out. Trap. It's a trap. It's a trap from the enemy when we let our mind go that away. That's a simple word, but let's see what it means. Trap. Any device, strategy, or situation designed to catch, hold, or trick something or someone. Can I just say, don't be tricked and trapped by the enemy. Don't be trapped by the enemy. Pay attention. He has traps set for you and for your kids and for your family. Why? Because he doesn't want any more godly people raising godly children. He doesn't want any godly husbands having good marriages that raise up the next generation. There are traps that you and I need to be looking for because this is how it works. He says, if I can just get them to focus on what they're doing, if I can just get them to focus on what they're buying, if I can just get them to focus on where they're going, I will eventually get them away from their church, away from their circle, away from their godly friends, away from their godly thinking, and away from what they know is right. Because the more we nibble on the world, the less we need the main dish, and the main dish is God. The more we fill up, the more we nibble, the more we get, the more money, the horses, more cars, clothes, land, whatever that is, the more we fill up with that, we have to begin to chase that. We have to begin to keep up with that and do that. And we're spending all of our time trying to get those things and pick those things up. And then we have no time to spend with God. We're constantly chasing. So I heard a guy put it like this. How many of you like Mexican food? How many of you go to the Mexican food place? And while you're waiting on your fajitas, you just dipping and eating, baby. Chip, chip, basket, basket. You done ate three baskets of chip. And when the fajitas comes out, it's smoking, smoke going everywhere. Everybody looking at your table, you're like, yeah, I got my food before you. All this stuff's happening. And you can't even finish the first taco because you done ate too many chips. You don't fill yourself up with the worthless things. If this is how the enemy works with people around us. If I could just get them to focus on what so-and-so has accomplished in the world, if I can just get them to focus on what they drive, their title or their place, then we begin to dissect their lives. We're like, how did they do that? So we're dissecting their lives and we're asking them. We're even asking them. And can I tell you, when I thought about that, I've asked a lot of people, how did you do this? How do I get here? How do I do that? Can I tell you, there's very few people who are going to be honest with you and really have the best interest for you and tell you the truth on how to get to where they're at. But many of them don't want you to get to where they're at, don't want you to do good, don't want you to do well. So you need to dissect your life and dissect the Word of God inside of you and read the Word of God and see what God has planned for you and what God has planned for me, because He says that I have plans to prosper you and not harm you, give you a future and a hope. What are we dissecting? What are we looking at? Well, they don't go to church, and they came from a poor family. They still made it. And then we begin to build our minds around all of these stuff that we don't even know. We're eating the chips and eating the chips and eating the chips. We're staying full on things that won't keep us full. Psalms 107:9, for He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. We're always longing for something. You and I are longing for something. I'm always longing for something. That's how God created us, but He also created us in a way, the only way we can find true satisfaction that lasts is through Him. Which is why we are always unsatisfied when we fill ourselves up with earthly things. Some of you good-looking, gray-haired ladies and no-haired men may have this figured out, but as a 33-year-old man, it is a struggle to not look over there and think, I got to get there. I got to make more money. I need another job. I got to do this. You know, we have got to pay attention to what we're looking for. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? We're going to read the Bible. That's the book for me. I stand on the Word and the truth of God, the Bible. Verse 1, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. So what is David saying? David is saying, do not worry about it. Do not look at it, Cole. Don't listen to it, Cole. Don't become envious of it, Cole. Don't look at those around you. Pay attention. Control yourself. Control yourself. If you're like me and you lack a little self-control sometimes, if it goes across my brain and out of my mouth, I have a little trouble with that. I would say to you, run with somebody who has self-control. The Bible says you run with people who are wise, you'll become wise. If you run with someone who is stupid, you become stupider. Who are you running with? Run with people who have control. Find somebody who's spiritually ahead of you. Somebody who has been tested in the waters of this world and this earth, and they have said no to the enemy and yes to God time and time again. I'm not going back to my old life. I'm going to keep walking in my new life. Find somebody to run with who will keep you under control. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. This is simple, right? Wrong. This should be so easy, but we make it so hard. Just do good. Just don't listen to that voice in your head. Come on, the enemy comes after us in our minds. Come on, David and Bathsheba, it started in his mind and then it became physical. Everything starts in your mind. What is going on in your mind? Don't answer. Don't let your mind go to the places that cause you to be bad, to go to your old place. Can I just say, God already knows the tendencies you and I have to fall back into our old life. He knows, and He knows where we fail, and He knows where we fall short. And can I say, instead of acting like we're hiding it, realize you're not hiding it. The devil knows, I know, and God knows, and you and I would be 1,000 miles ahead if we would just turn around like David did in Psalms and says, Lord, I have sinned against you. Lord, I have failed before you. Lord, against your name, God, give me a new heart. Lord, cleanse my soul. Make me right. He says, I want to be right with you again, Lord. If you and I would just get to a place and realize He already knows, but if I turn around and take it to Him, He's going to cleanse me, give me a new heart, and set me free to continue to do my journey with Christ. Just simply trust God. Just trust God and do good. And I love the ending of that verse. Befriend faithfulness. That's a good word. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. The Bible says if He's faithful with a little, He can be faithful with a lot. Faithful with what I have. Just practice faithful. Faithfulness. Practice it. I'm going to be faithful to read the Word of God. Faithful to my wife. Faithful to my children. Faithful to my church. Faithful to my mentor. Faithful to show up at my job on time. You young turds, show up on time. If you're on time, you're late. If you're 30 minutes, you're on time. And if you're 30 minutes late, you need to be fired. Just saying. Just practice faithfulness. I'm faithful. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. Verse 4, delight in him. What does that mean? Well, delight in this context means finding ultimate satisfaction, trust, and peace in God rather than the worldly circumstances. Amen. Come on, peace, trust in God rather than my worldly circumstances. Read your Bible. The life for the disciples was hard. They had nothing. Cover yourself up with the things of God. Don't cover yourself up with Facebook and Instagram and everybody else's words and everybody else's things. Turn the thing off sometimes. Bathe yourself in prayer constantly and bathe your family in prayer. Come on, there's power in prayer. Again, like Jennifer added her family's names in the Bible. Can I just say, when you begin to add yourself into the living, active Word of God, you can bet your butt He is going to work on your behalf. He hears your prayers. He knows your voice. He knows your sound. Pray to the Lord. Host the Lord. Hang out with the Lord. Take Him with you wherever you go. Talk to Him like you talk to us. Maybe some of you don't need to talk to the Lord like you talk to us, but just talk to the Lord. Talk to Him daily. When we do these things, David says, this is my favorite part and why I picked this song. I use this a lot. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you and I stay committed to Him, He will give those who are faithful the desires of their heart. He will give us what our heart longs for. How do we know that? Because check this out. Write this down. Because as the faithful delight in the Lord, their hearts will desire the right things. If you, the Bible says our hearts are jacked. Who can understand it? We got to guard our heart. We got to have the right desires. Well, how do I make sure I have the right desires, Cole? How do I know if I'm desiring what God wants me to desire? That's, glad you asked. Your daily habits are a result of what you desire. What you desire is a result of your habits. What you desire is a result of your daily habits. What do you do? If I'm opening the Word, if I'm trying to seek God, if I'm praying to Him, like Paul talks about in Thessalonians, without ceasing, God is going to work. My habits are going to reflect everything that I desire. James 4:8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. The more God I get in me, the more God that you get in you, by opening the Word, by praying, by doing those things, the more our desires will align with His will. Moving on, verse 5. We talked about it the first week. We talked about it. Cody talked about it last week. We'll talk about it this week and probably next week too. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. Commit, commit, commit. We commit to the rodeo. We commit to the ball games. We commit, we commit, we commit. All these things we commit to that do not keep us filled up, and yet we don't stay committed to the one thing that will sustain us to the end of our life. We come to church. We get set on fire. Cody talked about this last week. There's men that come up here and they have real tears and they have real regrets and they're set free by the blood of Jesus. I was one of them. And then we have wives and families that come up here and their lives are changed and they get set on fire. They buy the lie of the enemy that everything is going to be great, then one little hiccup will happen and they're mad at the church. We're mad at the people of the church. We're done and we're not committed to staying in church. And then we blame the ones who brought us to God, and then we get mad at God for not acting or answering our prayers. And then what it all boils down to when we start doing this is we're just showing the world how ignorant we are to the Word of God. Because we're ignorant. Because if we read verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will act in your life. He will act in my life if I'm committed. So really, when I'm acting like this and I'm at a place in my life when I'm like this, I don't really have a people problem. I have a commitment problem. So the question I might ask myself, am I staying committed to people or am I staying committed to God? People are fickle. People will let you down. What are you staying committed to? Let me just say while I'm on this too. Parents, when the hiccup comes and you throw a fit and you go back to your old life, you're not only hindering what God has for you in your life, but you're hindering what God has for your children's lives. Darren would say that's dope. You're hindering what God has for your children's lives. If you don't believe me, read the scripture. Find the scripture you're teaching them, that if everything does not go their way and if everything does not go right, I can just throw in the towel. And can I just say, the same children that came to church with you, Father, the day that you came down here and your real tears came out of your eyes and you gave your life to Christ, they were the same children that were in a home full of chaos. Or maybe the mama needed help. Maybe the mom got set free, and maybe that happened. And then when they left and they got in the car, they felt the Spirit of God because daddy got set free, or mama got set free, or things started changing in their life and things started happening, and they were like, oh my gosh, this church thing is real. It got a hold of my rough dad. It got a hold of my rough mom. But can I just say, when you throw in the towel 1 month later or 1 year later or 2 years later, that child will always second guess if you really had an encounter with the living Jesus Christ. And many times those parents don't come back to church, and that child will spend the rest of their life in and out of church or no church at all. All because of the parents' decision. Committed. What are we trusting? What are we trusting in? We trusting in people, or are we trusting in God? Me and you have to pay attention to what we're trusting in and who our children see us trust in. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil desires. That is a tough one, but can I just say, it's important to know he ain't saying sit and be lazy. We have enough lazy people in 2026. Do not be one. Work. Seek God, work. Instead, he's saying, walk with God, listen to God, let God lead, guide, and direct you. Don't let your selfish desires lead you. Let God lead you. Let God lead you. You and I, we belong to God. You and I were bought with a price. You and I were bought with the blood of Jesus. This is the second time he uses the term fret not. He's saying, don't worry. Repeatedly, David is saying, don't worry, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the ones that look like they're doing better than you. Don't worry about it. Come on, I was one of them, and still sometimes got to renew my mind. Like, get a hold of yourself, Cole. But there's people in here, and you see people who are wealthier than you, and it looks like they have comfort in this world, and they're doing good. And can I just say, they may have comfort, more comfort than you in this world. They may be doing better than you financially. But can I just say, if you have suffering in your life, but you have eternal life with Jesus Christ, you are not lacking what they have. They're lacking what you have. Don't worry about the man who carries out evil desires. Don't worry about it. Stay away from him. Don't worry about it. Worry about you. Worry about your walk. Man, God is using you. God's working in you. God has plans for you. Verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. I wrote my sermons up there in the dark above the deal up there. And when I got to this part, the Lord said, you need to read that again, boy. Don't let anger win. Don't let anger win. This is hard because, can I say, people will test your anger capacity more than anything else. And as you commit to God and you give your life to God and you go all in for God and the blessings become your way and your life looks good to them or whatever that looks like, you better get ready for the trash talkers, the haters, and the childish games to begin. People will try to provoke your anger. Do not let them and their actions pull you away from what you've called to be. Don't let them. The moment you react with the same anger, you instantly just become as foolish as they are. Let them expose who they really are. Let them expose who they are through their behavior. You and I, we're called to respond with maturity and wisdom and letting our reactions speak louder than their disrespect. Maturity. Because here's the thing, anger comes with a cost every time. It costs you a job, costs you a relationship, costs you regret. And when we get to that place, my prayer for myself has been this ever since I started this about 6 weeks ago when I started writing the sermon. God, help me react like Jesus. They spat in his face. They shoved thorns down on his head. They took a reed and whooped him upside the head. They said, hail, King of the Jews. What are you going to do? Blindfold him, prophesy. Who's talking? What's going on? They just completely with their mouth jerked him down, and he replied with silence. Silence. When people cuss you, when people do, you don't have to pick it up. That's not your burden to carry. The Lord has burdens for us to carry, but that ain't one of them. Just silence. The Bible says the Lord is your defender. I don't care what they said about you, how they said it to you, what they think about you, who they said it in front of, the lies, whatever. You and I got to know the Lord is our defender. He's our defender. He's our defender. Let the Lord fight for you. This is the third time he says, fret not yourself. Don't worry about it. David says, don't worry about them. That is for the Lord to carry. That is for the Lord to worry about. I wonder how much lighter we would be if we just really believed the Lord is defending me, even though I don't see it, even though I wanted to say this or say that or do that. God is my defender. Darren, worship team, y'all come. I'm at 22. God will work where we can't work. He'll work where you can't work. When you get to a place and you're just trying to fix it and trying to do and trying to, God will work. But you're going to have to wait patiently. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to know that he's going to work. Take that off of your plate. It is not a burden God wants you and I to carry. We had a Devo a couple of Mondays ago, and Cody talked about the burdens that God wants us to carry and the burdens that God doesn't want you to carry. Can I just encourage you to go home tonight and get you a piece of paper and write down the burdens God wants me to carry. To give you an example, mine were this. The burden I have is that no matter how I feel and no matter how I want or no matter how tired I am, I need to get up every morning, open the Word of God, and study the Word of God so that I can be all that I can be as a young preacher at Bethel Assembly. That is a burden. I need to get in Cody's hip pocket. I needed to be his assistant. I need to help him, pray for him, help do the things. That is another one. Another one is I'm a father. I'm a father to two boys. I am a husband to Marley. These are the burdens that God wants you to carry in your life. He does not want you to carry perfection. He does not want you to carry things that are out of your control. He does not want you to carry what other people are talking about, what other people are doing, what other people are saying. Pay attention to the burdens that you put on your back, because in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus with the ones. If you're not sure, pray, Lord, what are my burdens? What do you want me to carry? What's going to grow me? What's going to put me in the kingdom better? What's going to use me, God? The Lord will deal with them. The Lord will work where you can't work. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Verse 9, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the land. The Bible says he'll cut them off. But those who wait on God, those who seek to be obedient to God, those who delight themselves in God, those who stay committed to God, those who keep their eyes fixed on God, those that don't look left and those that don't look right, those that do not react in foolishness, those that look straight ahead toward the plans of God, those who understand they belong to God, they've been bought with a price, these people will inherit eternal life in heaven. And can I say, it's hard. We feel like we're behind and they're doing better and we're the same age and they've got this and we don't have that and all this stuff. But can I just say, Cody says it all the time. God wants you to have a good life. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to enjoy things, enjoy your family, enjoy the stuff. But can I just say, when life is hard, remind yourself that the greatest gift that we're going to have is at the end of our life. When we're like Paul and we say, you know what? I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And when we stand in front of Jesus and he says, you know what? Come on in, because I know you, because you opened your word and you prayed to me. You spent time with me. I know you. We have a relationship. Come into heaven. That is when you and I get our real reward. Not on this earth, it's not earthly. Bottom line, David said, don't get worked up over their temporary success of wrongdoers. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. He said, delight yourself in the Lord. Let your ultimate satisfaction be in God rather than worldly gains. He said, commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him and he'll act. Be still, wait patiently on the Lord and do not fret over what you see. Refrain from anger, don't let anger win. Don't be a fool. Be a mature servant of God in all circumstances. Let the Lord be your defender. And lastly, strive to live a life worthy of eternal life. So if y'all would stand and we'll pray before this song. God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I thank you for speaking to me when I wrote this and when I've studied this, Lord. And my prayer for myself has been, Lord, that I would not just be the one telling them about it, but I would also be the one reminding myself of it so that I could walk it out, so that I could do these things that these verses have called us to do, God, that you would just sharpen me a little bit. Lord, I pray that you would sharpen each and every one of these people standing here today, God. I pray that you would establish our steps in a way that we have never seen our steps established. God, I pray that you would just let the head of comparison be cut off. Lord, and these young people, I pray that you would instill in them that you have made them in your image, that you have plans for them to prosper, that they don't have to play basketball like her, or they don't have to play football like him, or they don't have to rope like them, or they don't have to do the God, that they are good enough the way that you've made them. I pray that these people would see that the comparison game is deadly, and Lord, I pray that the head of it be cut off today. Lord, help us see the traps of the enemy. Lord, let us not get comfortable in our little life of Christianity, but God, let us realize that we are in a war that we cannot see, that we are in a war that we need to be able to see the traps that the enemy is bringing. Lord, I pray that you would stop the hunger that is inside of us for these short fulfillments, God, that we wouldn't keep making these foolish decisions on things of the world. And God, I pray that we would just get to a place where we don't worry about others, but we worry about our relationship with you, Lord, where you're going to take us and what you have for us and the things that you have to prosper us, God. I pray that you would just give us all the strength to just continue to do good. Lord, if we're tired of our job and we're tired of our daily life and we're tired of this is the same Monday thing that I do every single day, God, let us just not get to a place where we stop doing good, but Lord, we're just going to trust that you're in control, you're in charge, you're going to work, and we're going to be faithful. We're going to be faithful to our family, faithful to our children, faithful to my wife, faithful to my circle. God, help us to be faithful people in 2026, God. Let us all just get to a place where we delight in you, that our habits would shape our desires, that we would just find the desires of you, God, that we would open the word and believe that they're coming. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to teach our kids to stay committed. Lord, that the decisions we make as parents are important for us, but God, they're more important for our kids. Let us see that. Let us be reminded of that. Let us hold our anger. Let us have control. And Lord, if we need help with our control, I pray that we find somebody to run alongside that will help us with that control. God, I pray that we get to a place where we can just practice silence. You know what, Lord? Let somebody come against us this week. Let them run their mouth. Let them get mad. Let them throw a fit. And Lord, let us practice being silent just like you did, like a sheep before its shears. Your mouth did not open. I pray that you would just give us places for us to grow so that we don't become stagnant, dead water, so that we can be all that we can be in the kingdom of God. And Lord, as we do this, I pray that you would help us wait and that we would not get weak in the waiting and that we would just believe in you and trust in you. You're going to lead, God, and direct us. You're going to be there for us, Lord. We're just going to trust that you have control of our life, that we've given our life to you. Galatians says, it is not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Lord, let us believe that as we walk out of this place today. We're trusting in you, Lord. We're waiting on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.